Mental illness is epidemic in America, and the problem is spreading worldwide. It's time for decisive action, because the battle for the mind is part of a much larger war being waged between good and evil, with you as the prize. Welcome to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings. For the next hour, we'll uncover Bible-based weapons for fighting destructive feelings and resolving inner conflicts. Dr. Jennings wants to arm you with the tools necessary for achieving emotional and mental stability as you strengthen your relationship with God. We'll open the phone lines for your questions in just a moment. I'm your Simple Solutions host, Charles Mills.
And welcome to the program. So glad you have tuned in. Just in case you haven't noticed, the holidays are upon us. Yes, I know you don't have any money. Yes, I know things might be a little slim in the gift-giving or gift-receiving categories this year. But there are worse things than not giving or getting what you want. Being depressed can take the ho-ho-ho out of Christmas holidays really fast, not only for you, but for those around you as well. Let's talk about holiday depression and how your thoughts and attitudes can affect your body in some rather unpleasant ways, no matter what the season. Dr. Jennings, if someone comes into your office and says, "Hey, Doc, with all the colorful lights and parties and people being nice to people for a change this time of year, I really should be happy, but I'm not." What type of response do you often give?
I often say, "Well, tell me. Tell me about what's going on in your life. When you say you're not happy, what do you mean? I need to know more about their circumstances, their situation, the symptoms they're going through. I hear somebody who's hurting, but now it's time for me to investigate what is the source and the cause and the circumstances, because my mind has multiple different possibilities that this person could be dealing with. This could be somebody who has what is known as seasonal affective disorder, as the sun becomes less available and the days become darker and more dreary.
People can get
depression because of this. And I'm thinking, well, is this somebody who's got a seasonal cyclic depression we need to look at? And if that's the case, it's often easily treated with light therapy. They just sit in front of a light in the morning for 30 to 40 minutes, and often their symptoms completely resolve. That could be the process or the problem.
Yeah.
But somebody might have other issues going on. My husband died on Christmas 3 years ago, and then Christmas is hard ever since that happened. There could be traumatic experiences, loss, grief, things that have occurred during the holiday times, and they're alone now, and this could be some of the things they're struggling with. So I want to know more about what's going on with the person, and then we can explore potential ways to help them deal with and resolve the struggles they're having.
I think what I hear you saying here, and this is significant to our listeners, is there is really no one-size-fits-all when it comes to mental illness. There is not a book out there that's going to treat everyone. There's not even a radio show that's going to treat everyone. It's that personal, let's talk about what you are facing individually. Am I on the right track here?
Well, yeah, I think you're exactly right. We're all individuals. We have different circumstances, but there are certain principles that do apply to everyone. For instance, the sunlight aspect that I was mentioning. All human beings need light. The sunlight or light, and if you don't have it, then you're going to have problems related to not getting adequate light. All human beings need adequate nutrition. All human beings need adequate oxygen and so forth. So you have a sleep disorder, for instance, that could contribute. So my point is there are certain principles that apply to everybody, but still everybody's circumstance is still unique, and we need to evaluate them as individuals.
What is it about the holidays that makes people depressed instead of happy? And I ask this because depression doesn't necessarily strike that poor soul with a lump of coal in his stocking. It might be that successful business person who is finishing up the best year of his life ever.
I don't know.
Yet
there's
here
any...
along comes the holidays, and suddenly they're okay in October, they're okay in November, but come December, oh my goodness, the roof falls in.
I don't think there's anything about the holidays that make people depressed. I think it's the individual person's response to the holidays that could cause them to experience distress or anxiety or loneliness or magnify some other issue that they already are struggling with that the holidays then become a reminder of. But I don't think there's anything about the holidays inherent to the holidays that cause people to be depressed. The only inherent thing would be if it's the winter holidays and we have the short days and long nights, and we lose that. That is a factor of season that can contribute to depression. And in fact, it's very well documented. The further you live in the northern latitudes, the higher your risk of depression because of the days being shorter in the winter and longer in the summer. So so that's the only inherent thing. The holidays themselves, it's how we interpret, respond, and associations and meanings we attach to the holidays.
Let's spend just a moment here with that seasonal, what's it called? Seasonal sad?
Affective disorder.
Affective disorder. Okay, that seasonal. What is it about sunlight? Is it like you're getting some kind of nutrient from it? What is it about sunlight that can make you, when you're sad, suddenly become glad? And I'm talking about sometimes pretty suddenly.
Well, you know, we haven't fully documented all the benefits of sunlight. So I will tell you some of the things, but I know there's going to be more discovered than what we currently know about sunlight. But sunlight does several really good things for us. It helps stabilize our circadian rhythms so that, and our circadian rhythms are more than just the sleep-wake cycles, but sleep-wake cycles are extremely important for us and in keeping us healthy and keeping us mentally fit. So it helps synchronize or stabilize our circadian rhythms for sleep-wake cycle, but the rest of our body runs on circadian rhythms as well. Do you know we have temperature variations in our body through the 24-hour cycle, that our body temperature fluctuates on a consistent pattern in harmony with the 24-hour cycle. Additionally, hormone levels in our body will shift during the 24-hour cycle. A healthy individual who's not depressed, as they wake up in the morning, will have the highest concentration of the stress hormone called ACTH. And as that stress, as the day goes on, that wanes and decreases slowly, gradually over the day, at the lowest point near the time they're sleeping at night, and then it surges again right before they wake in the morning to help them deal with the day. That's a circadian cycle. The sunlight helps synchronize that and keep all of our biorhythms on a natural, healthy cycle. The sunlight also affects brain chemistry or brain hormones. Melatonin is affected by sunlight. And sunlight also affects vitamin D. And vitamin D, we're just discovering huge things that vitamin D does for us with health-promoting benefits, not just for bone health, but also for immune health and antiviral and anti-infection health. So this is one of the reasons people hypothesize that we're so much more prone to getting colds or flu in the winter is because the sun goes down. We don't get as much vitamin D conversion from sunlight, and thus our immune system is diminished, and we can't fight infections as well as we can in the summer, where we have high vitamin E content that can vitamin D content that can fight these infections. Yeah. So lots of good things sunlight does for us.
Yeah, this is interesting because a lot of people, when they face the holidays, they say, "Oh, here they come again, the holidays. I just must be an awful person. I must be just a Scrooge, because here comes the holidays, and I feel bad every time with the holidays." And it may be something as simple. Talk about simple solutions. It may be simple as not getting enough sun, and that is very important for us to know. If someone is that way, you mentioned a light. What kind of light are you talking about?
Well, they're specialized lights that have the proper wavelength necessary, and so these are not lights you just go down to the retail store and pick one up. You actually can find these at various websites that specialize in light therapy, and I would recommend you go online and search for that. But I'm not going to recommend one brand over another brand at this point, because I haven't seen documentation that actually says one brand is necessarily better than another brand. Other things that can contribute to seasonal depression or depression around the holidays is that when the weather changes, and not only does it get darker earlier, it also gets colder, and a lot of people are less physically active. People who actually do exercise in the spring and summer and fall will diminish their exercise routines, and exercise actually causes the body to produce something called interleukin-10. Interleukin-10 is a very powerful anti-inflammatory that suppresses the stress cascade that contributes to depression. So as we stop exercising, we can experience more depression, and there's other factors as well that we can pick up after the break.
All right. Well, good. We have less sun. I think you need 10,000 lumens, I think is the word that I've heard about these sad lights. 10,000 lumens. It's sort of a bluish light, and I've seen them on the internet for $35 all the way up to $200. You might want to check that out. Lux. Oh, Lux. Okay, Lux. All right. There we go. 10,000 Lux. We'll be right back. 800-775-4673. Stay tuned.
Here's Dr. James Markham with your daily heartbeat. Many people feel their heart pounding or palpitating or suddenly stopping and going. This could be a problem, especially if it's lasting for prolonged periods of time, especially if it's associated with chest pain or dizziness or feelings like you can't breathe or you're about to pass out. The good news is a lot of times these are normal feelings and they just pass. But if you're having any of these other symptoms where it lasts a long time, it's causing you pain or get dizzy or pass out, you might need to see your doctor right away because there might be a more serious cause. So if you're having these feelings, they're not going away, go see your doctor today and get this checked out. I hope your heart's not palpitating right now, but if it is, there's definitely help for you.
If you'd like more information, go to heartwiseministries.org. That's heartwiseministries.org.
Hi, kids. This is Jared. My daddy works here at Life Talk Radio. He asked me to talk to you for a minute about the adventures of the Holy Bible and to tell you how great they are. Each Bible study is full of puzzles and other activities to help you learn more about Jesus. Then every time you finish four lessons, they send you a free cassette tape from your story hour. My sisters and I really like listening to these stories. When you finish all the lessons, there's 54. You'll get a free holder for all the tapes. The best part of all is it's free. That will probably be your parents' favorite part, too. So, to start taking the Adventures in the Holy Bible, all you have to do is call Life Talk Radio, 1-800-775-HOPE. Thanks, I know you'll enjoy them.
Welcome back to Simple Solutions. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're here with Christian psychologist, psychiatrist, and author, Dr. Timothy Jennings. And by the way, we want to open our phone lines right now because you might have a question on this subject. We're talking about depression, the brain-body connection. And as we've discovered, because of our lack of exercise and because of our lack of sunlight that's happening around December, a lot of us have a condition called SAD, seasonal affective disorder. And if you have any questions on this, if you would like more information about it, or if you are depressed for other reasons too, this is the program for you. Our phone lines are open right now, 800-775-4673. That's 800-775-4673. We'd like to hear from you. And by the way, we are going to put your name into a drawing for the Healing the Mind DVD series. You have got to see this. One, two, three DVDs in here, and there are six programs that Dr. Jennings put on down in Florida not too long ago, and you will enjoy healing your mind through these DVDs. And we'll take your name if you come on the air and talk to us and put it in the drawing today for that DVD series. Here's the number again, 800-775-4673. And by the way, too, there's a website you need to visit, Dr. Jennings' website, comeandreason.com. That's www.comeandreason, all one word, comeandreason.com. You'll find Dr. Jennings' blog there, program archives. You can listen to these programs going back a whole year. A lot of resources to help you heal that mind. And something brand new, Dr. Jennings, and I want to let you explain this. What in the world is a fan page doing on Dr. Jennings' site, and what's it there for?
Well, it's on Facebook, actually. We now have a fan page for comeandreason.com website. And the reason it's there is because as we come out with new materials, which we're going to be coming out in the next couple of days with a document I've just prepared called Simple Solutions for Smoking Cessation. And as that comes out, we put it on our website. We announce that on our fan page, and everybody who's a fan gets an announcement, hey, new resource available, Simple Solutions for Smoking Cessation. I do a weekly Bible study class, and as that Bible study class becomes available, that announcement goes out, and it's just a resource on Facebook that people can use to network and let their friends know about this material. So if you're on Facebook and you want to join, we'd be glad to have you as part of our family.
And by the way, your ears probably just pricked up when Dr. Jennings says Simple Solutions for Smoking Cessation. We know that one of the largest New Year's resolutions besides losing weight is to stop smoking. Well, we're going to give an entire program of Simple Solutions coming up on December 29, right here at this time, on the radio right here. We're going to do that, Simple Solutions for Smoking Cessation. We're going to talk about that right here on this program. So I invite you, if you have a smoking problem or know someone who does, you come and listen to that program, and you're going to find some amazing ways of getting rid of that very, very destructive and deadly habit. That's December 29 right here on the Simple Solutions radio program.
And if somebody wants to find us on Facebook, just type in Come and Reason, and the fan page will pop up. But okay, Charles, you said something that I know you said inadvertently, but I think it's an opportunity for us to do some education and clarification, because as I travel around the country, a lot of people don't know the difference between a psychiatrist and a psychologist.
And, that's true.
And so let's just yeah, clarify if anybody has that question. I'm a psychiatrist, and psychiatrists are physicians. After our undergraduate degree, we go to medical school for 4 years and become an MD, medical doctor. And then there's a residency that we go to for another 4 years to be an adult psychiatrist, and then additional training for subspecialty in psychiatry. Psychologists can become a psychologist with a PhD, not a physician, or a PsyD, which is still not a physician, and they can become a psychologist often within 3 to 4 years after their undergraduate degree, depending on the program track they take. So that is the primary difference, that psychologists are non-physicians and psychiatrists are physicians.
And you know, I like that, because today's program, Depression, the Brain-Body Connection, you're the guy to talk to, a psychiatrist the guy to talk to, because you really fully, deeply understand that brain-body connection. That's what we're talking about today on our program. How depression can really affect us physically, not just mentally, but physically. And let's get into that, Dr. Jennings. We mentioned a couple of situations under the SAD program, the seasonal affective disorder. What are some other ways, some very powerful ways, that depression, which is a mind thing, basically, can affect the body, which is a physical thing?
No, it's not a mind thing. It's a brain thing.
It's not a mind thing.
It's a brain thing.
Okay.
Which is different.
I'm glad you brought that up. Yes, that's very different. Tell us about the difference between the brain and the mind. That's important.
There's been a lot of discussion through the years about the difference. My general way of viewing it is the brain is the hardware, the physical tissue that you can open a skull and touch with all of its neural network and chemicals that it makes. That is the brain, the physical structure itself. The mind is all the things operating on the brain. For instance, what we might call the software. For instance, you and I, and hopefully our listening audience, has an English software package. Our English language abilities were uploaded after birth. Our brains were not born speaking English, but our brains were born with a physical hardware structure that could learn that language. And so if we would have born in a different part of the world, we'd have learned a different language. So the mind is the process of belief systems we hold, our spiritual beliefs, our relationship dynamics. All those things are part of the mind, including our language. The brain is actually the substrate upon which the mind operates on. And interestingly enough, how we're designed, our thoughts, beliefs, and choices we make will cause our hardware to actually change its structure. It will rewire depending on the experiences and choices we go through. So that's the in a very general way, the difference between the two. And is the way I see it. Now, so the brain-body connection. Well, as we were talking before the break, we were talking about seasonal affective disorder, but everything we talked about wasn't simply seasonal affective disorder. When I talked about changes in exercise that people do, well, loss of exercise any time of year is a contributing factor for depression, because exercise any time of year produces interleukin 10, which is an anti-inflammatory agent, which suppresses this stress cascade that can contribute to depression regardless of the time of year we stop exercising. It's just that when the weather turns cold, that's an increasing obstruction to getting out and exercising, and that's oftentimes works together with the changing of the light and so forth, and maybe we get more depression in that season. Another factor, and you're talking about the inflammatory cascade and how the body and brain work together, is do we change the foods we eat during the holidays? Do we eat a lot more rich foods?
Absolutely.
Well, the rich foods with a lot of animal fats and sugars, both, actually are inflammatory in nature. They cause a greater stress and inflammatory response in our body, which contribute to an increasing risk of depression. The more simple whole foods actually have very powerful antioxidants and anti-inflammatory factors that have protective effects for us. So our diet change, so we have light changes, we have circadian rhythm changes, we have exercise changes, we have diet changes, all these things that can happen in the winter months can significantly contribute to depression, but not just to seasonal depression. It can happen to people any time of year if you alter exercise, alter diet, and so forth.
That is significant to know. Our phone lines are ringing right now, 800-775-4673. Let's go to Rick in Kentucky, and Rick has a question for us. Rick, what's on your heart today?
Yes, I was wondering how much of an effect the circadian rhythms have on bipolar with rapid cycling.
You know, that's a great question. And, you know, the disorder, seasonal affective disorder, and bipolar disorder are separate disorders. So the seasonal affective, the seasonal component, or circadian rhythm component, would not be thought to be causative for the cause of bipolar disorder. However, sleep disturbance is a significant destabilizing factor for people with bipolar. So one of the things we want to do as we treat somebody with bipolar is we want to establish a very stable sleep-wake cycle. And as the sleep begins to fragment, it often is the trigger that cascades somebody into a manic or depressed episode. So yes, the circadian rhythms are very important in a bipolar patient, but not necessarily because they have seasonal affective disorder. But as we destabilize those, we can increase the mood instability. Further, if you treat a bipolar patient with light therapy, light therapy can actually stimulate or trigger a bipolar patient to go into a manic episode. It can over-activate that person. So you have to be very careful in a bipolar patient using light therapy for those patients. It can result in an activation.
So if you're like I am, I'm sort of an insomniac, about 4 or 5 hours, about the most I can get a hold of. That contributes to the rapid cycling itself because I don't get enough sleep, or
yes, it is a contributing factor. If you could get 7 to 8 hours of sleep, the sleep science would show that you would have a better stress release of the stress hormones that you need for the day, that you have a greater time for your mind, actually your brain, to rest at night, which it needs, rebalancing of the various brain neurotransmitters. All those things are very important for your ability to be able to have a stable mood. So including prefrontal cortex, we know that sleep deprivation impairs prefrontal cortex function. Prefrontal cortex, where you think, reason, self-restrain, and also where you process moods. So as things frustrate you through the day, if you're sleep deprived, you cannot process those frustrating life events as well. And so there's a negative emotional energy that builds that can contribute to further mood destabilization. So sleep is extremely important. And if you have a difficulty in sleeping, it would be something for you to discuss with your doctor or your psychiatrist or your primary care physician about. And there's a lot of things that can be done to help. Have you tried as an over-the-counter thing that could help? Something very simple is melatonin supplements that you can buy, and that can actually help with some people sleep better. Have you tried something like that?
No, I haven't tried the melatonin. I have tried some sleep aids, and a lot of times I'm drowsy. I'll catnap during the day, like, you know, 45 minutes here, half an hour there, but then I'm awake for another 5 or 6 hours.
Yeah, and the catnaps during the day, 45 minutes to an hour catnaps, actually could interfere with sleeping at night. So that's something that you'd want to check out as well. And I don't know what your weight status is, and whether you snore or things like that. You might have sleep apnea, and that would be something to evaluate. Is there actually a primary sleep disorder that interferes with your sleep? And if there is, that needs to be evaluated and treated. So that would be something to consider. If there's not, the other things that can contribute to decreased sleep at night, if you watch a lot of television or do a lot of computer activity in the evening hours, 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night, that is a fairly bright light, and that bright light actually can, just like the light therapy, can have an impact and make it more difficult to unwind and go to sleep. Because what helps us go to sleep, one of the factors, melatonin levels rise in the evening, and as they rise, it helps us fall asleep at night. But light destroys melatonin, and if we have a lot of bright light in the evening, it impairs that rise and can affect our sleep cycles.
Okay, Rick, do you have some answers there for you?
Yes, I appreciate that very much.
You're welcome.
All right, Rick, thank you very much. Merry Christmas to you. 800-775-4673. We'll take a short break, and we have Jesse waiting to talk to us from Illinois. So, Jesse, stay right where you are. We'll get you in a moment. 800-775-4673. Stay tuned.
Can your faith improve your health? This is Dr. Elmar Sakala for Lifelines. People of faith consistently exhibit higher levels of mental, physical, and relational wellness, according to a study by research psychiatrists funded by the National Institute for Healthcare Research. For instance, they found that smokers who were not religious were 7 times more likely to have elevated blood pressure than those who said religion was important. Another study of elderly women hospitalized with broken hips found that those who were religiously committed were less depressed, had shorter hospital stays, and could walk further at the time of discharge than those who were not.
Lifelines, a public service of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, provides practical answers to common questions. For more free health tips, call 877-LIFE-TIPS or visit vibrantlife.org.
Brian Bradley's hands have built a lot of houses over the years. Carla Sanchez's hands have made more great meals than she can remember. And Gary Murdoch's hands have taught chopsticks to lots of kids. These hands have done so much in life. They can do so much for life by practicing fire safety. Make your home safe from fire. Maintain smoke alarms on every level in your home and test and replace the batteries in each alarm. Plan and practice an escape route. Know at least 2 exits from every room and be sure you know how to open your windows. Prevent fire, save lives, so you'll be able to give others a hand. For more information on how to keep your home safe from fire, go to our website at www.usfa.fema.gov. A message from the U.S. Fire Administration.
Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Do you long for that peace in your life? Let's return to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings.
Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Miller, with Dr. Jennings, and we're talking about depression, the brain-body connection, and we're hearing good things today. And Dr. Jennings, before we get to Jesse in Illinois, you wanted to have one more quick message for Rick. Is that right?
Well, I just want to talk about the importance of sleep stabilization and things that can be done. If you're having difficulty sleeping at night, one of the things that's important to do is some sleep hygiene measures. Evaluate your sleep environment. Make sure you have a cool environment. There's not a lot of noise around. You've got dark space. You're not having an animal that jumps in and out of the bed with you at night. You don't exercise late at night, which can interfere with sleep. You don't eat a heavy meal late at night. A lot of television programming that you watch right before you go to bed can stir up your emotions, get you thinking about things. You can have that going through your mind at night. Video gaming, you can have that going through your mind. You can't shut the mind down because you've activated it so much with this type of process going on. So if we're doing a lot of high energy, high task, high focus things, and we just expect to be able to walk in the room and turn our brain off like a switch, it often doesn't work that way. We need time to relax, unwind a little bit. And in the evening hours, as I said, the melatonin levels rise normally, physiologically, to help us to be able to unwind at night. If we are doing a lot of high light activities, like right in front of a computer screen, that can interfere with that rise. I mentioned exercise already, which can interfere with that rise as well.
Yeah.
So, and one other thing is caffeine. Heavy caffeine intake, especially in the evening, can significantly, but caffeine has a 6-hour half-life. So if you drink a cup of coffee, 120 milligrams of caffeine at 6 o'clock in the evening, at midnight, you still have 60 milligrams of caffeine in your system. So it takes 6 hours for half of it to be eliminated. So we have to watch caffeine, which can interfere with sleep as well.
Okay, so if you're sitting in a brightly lit room, eating potato chips, watching 24,
drinking coffee,
you can't expect to get up, go to your room, and go to sleep. It's not going to happen. 800-775-4673. Go ahead, Doctor. You want to add something?
No, you're exactly right. That's exactly right. So we have to look at some of the things we can do. Now, Rick mentioned he had bipolar disorder. He also needs to check with his physician because bipolar disorder itself can interfere with sleep, and he might need to be on some medication that helps promote sleep at nighttime and stabilize his mood.
All right. 800-775-4673. Let's get to Jesse, patient Jesse in Illinois. Hi, Jesse. What's on your heart today?
I'm doing good. What I was wondering, if I just became familiar with Dr. Jennings probably about a month ago, and I've been applying some of what he said, a lot of the things that he said about stimulating the different part, the front cortex or whatever, and the limbic,
yes,
where we're trying not to do that,
yes,
and everything. And I quit out my TV watching, and I've been, because I've always thought about God was waiting to strike me down, you know, if I didn't do exactly what he wanted. So I was, you know, you said concentrate on love, so I've been concentrating on love, and I was feeling pretty good. And I have a problem with, I was having a lot of problem with, like, dwelling in the past and living in the past and wanting to go back to when I was a child when I felt like times were happier and whatever. So what I, this past weekend, I'm on Facebook and I have, like, you know, my friends that have their birthdays, and I didn't get to email someone a happy birthday because my computer went down. So I dwelled on that all evening long, all night. I couldn't hardly sleep. I thought they're going to think I forgot about them. And so then it just kind of went downhill. And then the next day I ate a little bit of sugar, and I, you know, because I have anxiety, I usually stay away from the sugar or whatever. And I mean, it just kept going down. And then by the end of the day, I had stopped thinking positive. I started dwelling back on the past. And before it was over with, I was actually feeling depressed to where I felt like crying. And I didn't know if maybe just me letting my whole thought turn around and everything kind of go downhill, if that's why I ended up depressed, because I started concentrating on the negative things again.
Are you feeling depressed now?
No, because I kind of shook myself out of it, and I said, okay, I kind of went back to what you were saying, focusing my thoughts back on the positive, God being love, and I'm still not watching TV, and I kind of said, you know what, I can either explain what happened about my computer, but it's still not up, but I thought, it's not just that, I'm making too big out a deal out of something that's really, in the whole scheme of life, not that important.
Now,
so I started thinking about it different.
Now, Jesse, I really appreciate your call, because your call really helps us see a little bit into how our minds and brains are designed to work. Our emotions are receptive or responsive to the thoughts that we think. And as we think thoughts of a pessimistic or negative or self-derogatory or self-punitive nature, we will experience emotions of dysphoria, unhappiness, fear, anxiety, worry. And as we experience this fear, anxiety, guilt maybe, these negative emotions, they actually cause the release of stress hormones in our body, what we call the catecholamines and glucocorticoids. They actually rise, these stress hormones in our body. And if we keep thinking these negative thoughts and keep bombarding ourselves with this tension, this worry that causes these stress hormones to rise, over the course of time, those stress hormones will activate an inflammatory response in our body, where we begin releasing toxic little inflammatory factors called cytokines, like interleukin 6 and 2 and others. And these things will actually cause problems for us. We can actually feel fatigued. We can have sleep disturbance. We can have aches and pains. We can have change in appetite. We don't think as clearly. And they can then react back upon the brain, ultimately contributing to depression, all because of a negative thinking cascade. And so as you have been able to do some internal battle with yourself and say, hey, wait a minute, you know what? What's the truth here? What's really going on? Hey, I'm feeling really down, but am I feeling down? Why? Well, because I'm having these negative thoughts. I'm going to change the way I'm thinking and look at this more positively, more honestly even, because if you're honest with yourself, some of those negative thoughts were either magnifications or blown out of proportion to what really was happening. And as you brought in a more truthful and honest assessment of what was really happening, then it caused a change in mood. Hey, it's not so bad. I can get through this. That's not that big a deal. And then that calmed that whole stress cascade, and it altered your mood.
Yes. Oh, I see. Yes.
So, yes, there is power in the thoughts that we think. There's no question. What we believe has power over us. Now, interestingly enough, we have power over what we believe. We can change our beliefs. But what we choose to believe then has power over us. If we, for instance, if we believe that we're no good, we're ugly, nobody likes us, we're worthless, that we'll never amount to anything, if that's what we really believe, will that affect the choices we make?
Mm-hmm.
Sure it will. Will it affect how we feel? Will it affect whether we raise our hand and ask questions in school? Will it affect the kind of people we date, the kind of people we marry, the kind of behaviors we... Sure, it changes our whole... If we believe that we're a child of God, that we have purpose, intelligence, we have nobility of character, we have God's agencies helping us, and that there's a battle going on for our souls, and we have the ability to make choices to overcome those difficulties when they come, does that change some of the opportunities and directions our life goes?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So I'm really pleased that you've called and you've been able to describe in such nice ways this battle that all of us struggle with, and how you were able to do battle with your own thoughts and feelings and replace the negative thoughts with more wholesome and healthy and realistic thoughts that actually resulted in a change in mood, and you're not depressed today.
Yes, and thank you. I just want to say, you, through God, working through you, has actually is changing my life, and I just want to thank you,
Amen.
And you're doing a great work, and keep it up.
Oh, praise the Lord. Join our
Amen.
Facebook page.
Amen.
Oh, yes, I will. Thank you.
You're welcome.
God bless.
Thank you very much. God bless. 800-775-4673. That's a nice report. 800-775-4673. We have a drawing for the Healing the Mind DVD for our callers. We'll have them all put into a hat, and not themselves, of course, but their names. That would look kind of funny. And we're going to have a drawing into the program, one of those names, and we'll get the Healing the Mind DVD. 800-775-4673. Dr. Jennings, as you were talking with Jesse there, I began to recognize something. You were saying how we look at ourselves, how we think of ourselves. And there are really two ways for us to think of ourselves: as the world thinks of us and as God thinks of us. Am I on the right track here?
You really are on the right track. There's no question. God sees us completely different than the world sees us, and God sees us completely different than often the people at church see us. So
yes, that's true.
No, seriously.
Because I look in the mirror, and I say, "Man, I could never make it in Hollywood." Or I don't have that strong body that magazine is showing me. And you know, look at the people on the television screen or the movie screen. They look so good, and they're so smart, and they know what to do all the time. That's not me. So suddenly, I'm thinking, I can't make it because I'm not as good as all those people.
You know, the Bible says
I'm thinking wrong.
Bible says that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart.
Yeah.
And because of our technology in which we live, with photography and film and computer technology, what we see in magazines and on television and on the internet, that these people are so beautiful and stuff, it's not real. It's an illusion. With cosmetics, with photo brushing, and all the things that they do, and computer enhancement, you know, there are some movie stars that actually, after they film it, they go in with the computer and they change their, well, they take 25, 30 pounds off of them, so they look a lot thinner and more, you know, fit. Okay, they do this with the computer so that you actually don't see what they really look like. It's an illusion. And so when young girls look at the magazines or at TV and say, "Oh, this girl's so pretty, she's so beautiful, I'm not that pretty, I'm not that thin," it's not real. It's an illusion. It's all airbrushed, it's taped, it's all kinds of stuff they do, tricks they do to make it look different than reality looks.
My. 800-775-4673 with your questions and comments on the subject of depression, especially during the holidays. And now I'm getting to see why. We have four on the list of why we get depressed around the holidays. The number one is the sun goes bye-bye. It's out there very little, and it's not very bright when it is out there. We can overcome that with a nice sunlight or taking advantage when the sun is out there. Exercise, we tend to head inside like the polar bears. We head into our den when winter comes. Nope, get out there.
I've got to interrupt you because the light thing, if you actually have true seasonal affective disorder, getting out there when the sun's up is not enough. You actually need more light than the amount of light available during the time. And the further north you live, that's even more so. Imagine living in Alaska. You might only get a couple hours of sunlight a day that's even available.
Yeah.
You said get a light or get out when the sunlight's out. And it's not enough if you have seasonal affective disorder just to get out when the sunlight's out. You need the light, and you need it in the morning. And the most effective time to get that light therapy is before the sun comes up.
Interesting. Now, also, before we leave the light, let's talk about vitamin D. Apparently, if we live north of, say, Atlanta, we might not even be able to get enough vitamin D from the sun during the winter months. Am I right?
You are correct. And that's why a lot of doctors now are checking vitamin D levels. And you can have that checked, and you can get on a supplement. And that supplement can supplement your vitamin D needs during the winter. And it can make a big difference in physical health as well as mood. You can feel better when you have enough, and also have less vulnerability to certain infections and sickness.
Okay. All right. On the list, also exercise. Get out there and enjoy that exercise. Nutrition, food. So we eat junk around Christmas time. Not good for the brain at all. Also sleep. We talked about the problems we have with sleep, and Dr. Jennings is outlining some of the things we can do. All right. What else can we do? Let's find out on our return. Take a short break here. 800-775-4673. That's 800-775-4673. When we get back, I want to ask you, Dr. Jennings, when is medicine indicated as a treatment instead of, say, talk therapy? Are there times when you have to have the medicine? Talk just won't do it? Let's find out on our return. 800-775-4673. Stay tuned.
Too many Christians don't know the truth about dinosaurs, but Christian scientist Dr. Elaine Graham Kennedy is out to change that. Dr. Kennedy is a research scientist who has done field work at dig sites in remote places like Patagonia. She has spent her life studying dinosaurs, and now she has published a remarkable book called Dinosaurs, published by Pacific Press, that is both scientifically based and biblically sound. It answers the questions many Christians ask. Did dinosaurs really live? Are dinosaur bones fake? Who made the dinosaurs? What happened to them? And were dinosaurs on Noah's Ark? Dr. Kennedy's book, Dinosaurs, is filled with interesting facts, photographs, and colorful charts. It is a must for every Christian home and perfect for reading with your kids. To get a copy, visit www.pacificpress.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
I was 8 years old when I realized what it was that I had to do. I was walking down the street and I saw so many homeless men and women. I knew I had to find a way to help. 2 years later, I started a nonprofit group to feed the homeless. Hi, my name is Amber Kaufman, and today I'm 20 years old. For the past 10 years, the organization I created, Happy Helpers for the Homeless, has delivered love, food, and clothing directly to men and women living on the streets. We've also helped other young people discover the joy in serving others. You know there's something you need to do in your community. But maybe you thought, what can I do? I'm just one person. You'll be amazed at what a difference you can make if you just put your mind to it. Decide today to make that difference. Get out and live. Volunteer.
Brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
Welcome back to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're talking about depression, which is a depressing thing to talk about in the holidays. But as we're discovering, a lot of us have the depression during the holidays for reasons that are not mysterious at all. Lack of sun, lack of exercise, lack of nutrition, sleep problems. And now, Dr. Jennings, some people listening may say, okay, if I have depression, do I really need to go take some kind of medicine? Can I just talk to someone about this? Isn't talk enough?
Not for some people. No, it's not. It depends on the individual and it depends on the circumstances. It depends on their history. So talk therapy is not enough for some people. There's no question about it. When people have, and we're talking a true clinical depression here, which is a sustained period of not just depressed mood, but alteration in sleep, alteration in appetite, alteration in concentration, alteration in energy, alteration in motivation, ruminations on the suicidal or worthless thoughts, this really dark hole. When people are in that type of depression that sustains itself for weeks over time, there are actually alterations that happen in brain function. We can put people in scanners and we can see that certain parts of the brain are not working correctly. There's a part of the brain right above the orbit of the eye that becomes hyperactive. This is the part of the brain that we normally, when it's working normally, we get a sense of conviction of wrongdoing or redirection of inappropriate social behavior. For example, if you were in church and you decided to stand up and try and take off your clothes in front of everybody, this part of the brain normally would begin firing like crazy and giving you a sense of discomfort and stop you from doing such a thing, okay? Well, part of the brain in people who are depressed is firing like crazy all the time, and so they feel... Yeah. Self-conscious, they feel inadequate, they feel guilt-ridden, they feel like they can't do anything right, they ruminate about the tiniest little trivias for the Facebook page you can't get to because your computer's down, you begin ruminating over it and feel like it's just this huge giant ordeal. It's not, because this part of the brain is overactive. Not only that, when people are depressed for the sustained period of time, certain genes in the DNA of the brain cells get suppressed or turned off. They stop producing very important
brain proteins that keep our brain healthy, called neurotrophic factors. Antidepressants actually reverse this process. They actually turn these genes back on. And therefore, when these neurotrophic factors are turned off, the brain stops making new neurons. It stops sprouting new connections. We actually lose brain mass. We lose glia cells, which are the white supporting cells. And that results in some loss of neural tissue. And we can see brain thinning in critical brain regions where we have memory and learning going on. When we give antidepressants, antidepressants turn these genes back on. These healthy proteins are being produced again. And when these healthy proteins are being produced, the brain heals itself, and we see growth in these areas of the brain that had had been losing tissue during the depression. The more episodes of depression a person has, the more likely it becomes the number one predictor of a future episode. If you've had three episodes of major depression, the likelihood of having a fourth is over 90%.
Wow.
So regardless of any stressors in your life, the first three episodes, the first 3 to 4 episodes of depression, the number one factor that would contribute or be a predictor that you would get depressed is some sort of major life stress. Getting fired from a job, having an injury, getting a major illness, having a loved one die. Some major life stress is the number one factor for the first 3 to 4 episodes. After the 3rd or 4th episode, what becomes the greatest predictor of another episode is the previous history of episodes, because the brain changes with these episodes because of these processes. Now, what science has shown us is that if they're on antidepressants, however, antidepressants protect against relapse in the face of stress. And how we know this is that when people are stressed, they have an increasing cascade of those stress hormones, and it suppresses the production of these neurotrophic factors. Now, they've taken people with history of depression, they give them antidepressants, and they follow them during stressful life events, and the neurotrophic factors do not get suppressed. And so we see this protective factor happening during this process. So antidepressants do work, and there is a physiologic basis for it. Additionally, see, we are designed by God for adaptation. We adapt based on the experiences we go through, the thoughts that we think, the beliefs that we hold, the choices we make. All of life exposure is constantly changing us physiologically, changing us in the neural circuitry. But even deeper than that, our gene expression is changing based on life experiences. We now know that children who grow up in abusive environments, whether physically or sexually abused, will have an altered gene expression that makes them more risk for depression and suicide than if they had been raised in a healthy environment.
Amazing.
The genes that control a brain chemical you might have heard of called serotonin, those genes are altered in their expression by the childhood abuse. Not only that, the neural circuitry is altered in its development, so that kids that are raised in abusive environments, the circuits of fear become more developed, and the circuits that calm the fear circuits become less developed. So kids that come in an abusive environment are much more prone to anxiety and worry problems, which contribute to further risks of depression. These things can be healed. They can be changed. So if you're in a circumstance listening audience, don't be discouraged. Understand that we now have some insight into what's happening. And with proper therapy, both combination of pharmacotherapy and talk therapy, you get the most robust outcome and improvement for your situation. In my practice, I not only do the talk therapy and pharmacotherapy when appropriate, I also try to take into account the spiritual factors and bring those to bear, as well as the nutritional factors and the life hygiene factors and the social factor. All these things bear in on us. And as we have a treatment approach that considers all of these, then we can maximize the improvement that people can experience.
And, of course, no one wants to get hooked on something. We don't want to become a Prozac nation around
here.
Is there a
way
of starting and getting off of it?
I got to tell you, that language is really, really for a medical practitioner, somewhat offensive. It'd be like saying, you know, somebody with severe hypertension, when they're not on their blood pressure medicine and their blood pressure is 240 over 130, and you say, well, nobody really wants to get hooked on blood pressure medicine. We don't want to become a blood pressure nation. It's like, wait a minute. If their blood pressure is going to cause them a stroke if they don't take their medicine, they're not hooked on it. They have a condition that won't be treated appropriately without it. And so this is not a medicine. These medicines that we're talking about for depression are not medicines that have an addictive nature to them. They don't activate the reward pathways of the brain called the nucleus accumbens. You can't get high from them. There is no a secondary reward. So you can't get hooked. And so I don't think that is an appropriate analogy. I think that you have to understand that if you have a medical condition like diabetes and you say, oh, we don't want to have a nation hooked on insulin, you know, that just doesn't make sense.
We're about to.
Yeah.
We're about to.
No. That's a different issue. We can have lifestyle issues that cause us to have unhealthy physical problems, and we can address some of those lifestyle issues to bring health. But I'm talking somebody who's got diabetes type 1 because they've had a virus destroy their islet cells of their pancreas. Those people need their insulin, and they should be hooked on insulin because they'll die without it. Yeah. Okay, and so when we're treating real medical conditions, then we need to be able to understand those conditions and recognize that people who take those medications are actually intelligent, reasonable, appropriate, and to be no different than a person who has really bad vision being hooked on their eyeglasses.
That's true.
Because
they're
adapting to this thing that makes them function better in life. They can see the world more clearly, and they can function better. And people who have this other idea, well, I don't want to be hooked on meds, they actually function much worse in life. They have more relapses. And not only that, this depression thing, it not only affects the person with depression, it affects the family. We now have good science that kids growing up in homes with moms who are depressed have a markedly higher rate of mental health problems themselves and perform worse in school. However, moms who are depressed who get treated, their kids don't get that negative cascade in their lives if moms get treated.
Yeah. Well, this is very important for us to know as we go through life and make the decisions that we need to make in our life. This is very, very important to know. Good stuff. I want to remind our listeners as we close our program for today. This has been an amazing program. I want to remind our listeners that there is a website, comeandreason.com, and I'm inviting you, listener, to go to that website. I'm looking at it right now on my own computer, and there's a section there under Simple Solutions Live with Dr. Timothy Jennings. Welcomes your questions, and there is a website. There's an email address that you can email your questions, because starting in January, we're going to bring a lot more listener questions into our program. We've been talking about the great themes of mental illness during the past year. Next year, we're going to look more about the questions. And so if you have a question for Dr. Jennings on anything you've heard during the past year on this program, or anything that you are facing in your own life, you go to www.comeandreason.com, and you click on the email link there, and you can send your questions, and we will address that question either on the website or on a future program starting in January. Very important, comeandreason.com. Also, again, reminder, December 29, Simple Solutions for Smoking Cessation, a wonderful program coming your way right here on Simple Solutions at this time on your radio station. That's December 29, a Tuesday, and help you get that new year going without that cigarette in your hand. Very important stuff. Dr. Jennings, thank you so much for this program today. You have helped a lot of people.
Who gets the DVD?
The DVD is going to Rick in Kentucky. Rick, we're going to send that DVD out to you right away. We appreciate your call. And listeners, thank you so much for being with us today. We appreciate it. Very important information on this program. I hope that God is using it to touch your heart. Again, the website, comeandreason.com. And you can also Facebook Come and Reason and become a fan of Dr. Jennings and learn what everyone needs to know about mental illness right there. Until next week, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. Timothy Jennings inviting you to apply the simple solutions God placed in your heart today. Goodbye, everyone.
Simple Solutions is a production of Life Talk Radio and Dr. Timothy Jennings, and is made possible by your generous support. For more information, visit www.comeandreason.com.